And now, from Mars to London and the Olympics.
Gold, always believe in your soul. You've got the power to know you're indestructible. Always believe in, 'cause you are gold.
Gold. And it was a big day for female sprinters in track and field yesterday. For more on the women's 100-meter and what's coming up in the men's, we're joined by NPR's Mike Pesca. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Linda. And let me just say that Spandau Ballet song Gold, you know, at the end of that song, singer Tony Hadley holds a note for like 15 seconds. And that's clearly an Olympian task. But for the real Olympians,
okay.
And that's called an Olympian segue. You take it from there.
Uh-huh. So, Mike, the women's 100-meter was a nail-biter. Set it up for us.
Well, it usually actually takes me more than 11 seconds to bite my nails, so in that way it wasn't a nail-biter. But Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce won in 10.75 seconds, and 0.03 of a second behind her was Carmelita Jeter. She was just edged out by the Jamaican and also trailed by the Jamaican because Veronica Campbell-Brown came in third.
Jamaican women have dominated this event for a long time, but this was American Carmelita Jeter's first Olympics. Do you expect we'll see her again?
Yeah, well, we're going to see her in a couple of days in the 200 meters, though that's not her best event. And Allison Felix, who came in sixth in the 100, she could win the 200 meters. Maybe Jamaicans will trail her. Carmelita almost made the Olympics in 2008. She's really been the best American sprinter for a while, but she kind of bombed out in trials. Surprisingly, she's doing much better this time.
The event was a preview of the final in the men's 100. Usain Bolt and Johan Blake are the guys to beat.
They are. Usain Bolt, of course, is the world record holder, 9.58 seconds. We can't go that fast, can we? I guess he can. But he was beaten in Jamaican trials by Blake, and he also lost in the 2011 World Championships. Blake won that, too. But in 2011, Bolt had a false start, and they have very draconian false start rules here in the Olympics. So if that happens, one false start and you're out, you don't get a second chance.
Do the Americans have a chance?
They do. In fact, two Americans ran the fastest in qualifying, though take qualifying with a big grain of salt because, for instance, if you watched Bolt's qualifying race, he knew he had won, and so he just kind of eased up in the last, millisecond. Tyson Gay, top American runner, Justin Gatlin, he's great. And Ryan Bailey, there's a kid who's been coming on strong. He's run the fastest in the Olympics so far.
So, Mike, what is your curveball this week?
Well, this week, and with curveballs, I usually try to go for something unusual. And there was an unusual occurrence, I thought, in the women's individual all-around in gymnastics, where an American, Ali Raisman, and a Russian, Alia Mustafino, were tied for third. So why not, after all the events were done, so why not just give them both bronze medals, right? Well, gymnastics has been really struggling with what to do with tiebreakers. And there was a big tiebreaking procedure that I have to say the folks at NBC, I didn't watch the NBC broadcast, but it was reported back that the folks at NBC were really confused. How do you break a tie? They got it a little bit wrong. Basically, how gymnastics chooses to break a tie is they throw out the worst score. In women's gymnastics, there's four apparata. And so they throw out the worst score,
yeah.
I guess, on the theory that if you stumble once, it shouldn't be held against you. But, you know, ties are frequent. And gymnastics used to allow ties, and technically they do this time around, but they go through long, long procedures to break a tie. I find, my theory is that they do allow for ties, the Olympics does, in sports that are races that are timed. So if two swimmers, say, touch at the same time to the 100th of a second, well, then they'll say that's a tie. But gymnastics, there are so many numbers involved, so many difficulty scores and execution scores and different apparata. When you have all those numbers, you have kind of the different ways to break a tie. It's so much more tempting. So that's why gymnastics ties are really complex.
So has there ever been a tie for gold?
Yeah, there has. In 2000, Gary Hall Jr. and Anthony Irvin, in a swimming event, they touched at the same time. And a really interesting thing is, you might remember last Olympics in Beijing, Nastia Lukin, the gymnast, tied for gold, but she was awarded the silver because of tie-breaking procedures. But in that same sport in 1988, her father, Valerie Lukin, was allowed to tie for a gold on the high bar.
So there's no thought of just getting a big metal shear and cutting the thing apart?
Well, you know, it's happened. In 1928 speed skating, two guys tied for gold and three guys tied for bronze. And my favorite is weightlifting, where if two guys or women lift the same weight, you know how they break the tie? They weigh the athletes, and the lifter who weighs the least wins the tie break.
Mike, thank you very much, as always.
You're welcome.
NPR's Mike Pesca from London.